Here is your Radio Theater Channel weekly podcast for download. The RTC still has the very best old-time radio on the live streaming. And if it's music you love, tune in to the RTC Music Channel, where this link and many others are on our website at oldtimeradiolisten.com. Now, here's Jim.
Hello and welcome to the RTC Weekly Download. We're back with an hour of great old-time radio, some experimental stuff, and that's coming up in about 30 minutes. But first, we'll start off with something familiar. It's going to be the Edgar Bergen Charlie McCarthy Show. This one is called New Year's Party, and it's from 1944.
The makers of Chase and Sanborn Coffee bring you Edgar Bergen, Charlie McCarthy, and Don Ameche. New Year's greetings, ladies and gentlemen, and best wishes for 1945 from all of us. Our guest, Charles Lawton, and our regular group, Ray Noble and his orchestra, Bill Foreman, Joan Merrill, Effie Clinker, Edgar Bergen, and Charlie McCarthy.
Don't look now, folks, but it's almost 1945.
Charlie.
Yeah?
Let's introduce Effie Clinker to Don Ameche.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Oh, Don.
Yeah, Charlie, yeah.
Don, would you like to meet a beautiful girl?
Well, I certainly would.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll fix it.
Yeah.
Effie.
What have I done? What have I done here? Well, Effie, I want you to meet Don Ameche.
Oh, Don Ameche, where?
No, over here.
Oh, so you're the charming Effie Clinker, huh?
Loosen my bobby socks.
Well, why?
I'm going to swoon.
Oh, no, you're not. Why, what's the matter, Effie? You seem rather excited tonight.
Well, who wouldn't be? This is the last shopping day in leap year. Yeah.
Now, you're not serious, are you?
Oh, no.
Oh, you are?
Why do you think I'm wearing this mistletoe in my hair?
Oh, I see.
Oh, I see. Sort of a mistletoeing mama, huh?
That's very good. It's awfully good. Mr. Ameche.
Yeah?
Doesn't mistletoe just make your lips pucker?
Why, now, Effie, don't tell me you're a promiscuous kisser.
Oh, no, dear, no. But I could learn.
Oh, now, don't you know, Effie, a girl should play hard to get?
Oh, I do. In a cooperative sort of way.
Yeah.
Oh, nightingales and monkey tails.
All right. Effie, you must come over to the party I'm giving at my house tonight.
Oh, good.
Yes.
Can I make the eggnogs?
Oh, fine.
Well, tell me, Effie, how do you make them?
Well, I have my own recipe.
Yeah?
Take the whites of eggs, you see.
Uh-huh.
And then you beat them until,
Stiff?
No, but I bet I will be.
No.
Effie, I'll see you later. Right now, I have a date. A date to hear the charming Joan Merrill sing, "Saturday Night is the Loneliest Night in the Week." If you please, Joan.
Saturday night is the loneliest night in the week, 'cause that's the night that my sweetie and I used to dance cheek to cheek. I don't mind Sunday night at all. That's the night friends come to call. And Monday to Friday go fast, and another week is past. But Saturday night is the loneliest night in the week. I sing the song that I sang for the memories I usually see, until I hear you at the door, till you're in my arms once more. Saturday night is the loneliest night in the week.
Saturday night is the loneliest night in the week,
'cause that's the night that my sweetie and I used to dance cheek to cheek. I don't mind Monday night at all.
Sunday's the night that friends come to call.
And Monday to Friday goes fast.
And flash, flash, another week is past.
But Saturday night is the loneliest night in the week. I sing the song that I sang for the memories I usually see. Until I hear you at the door.
And you're in my arms once more.
Saturday night.
Saturday night.
Is the loneliest night.
Loneliest night. Saturday night is the loneliest night in the week.
Say, Charlie, about this New Year's Eve party Edgar's giving tonight, is it going to be a pretty swell affair?
Well, it'll probably be another one of those Bergen's brilliant, spectacular washouts.
Oh, I see, huh?
I heard what you said, young man.
Oh, hello.
Will you be able to make the party tonight, Don?
Oh, yes, Edgar. What time is your party going to start?
Well, the smart set will arrive rather late.
Ah.
And the smarter set won't arrive at all.
I want to tell you, though, that the high spot of the evening will be at midnight.
Yes?
And that's when I'm going to portray the part of Father Time.
Oh, you picked a nice role.
Yeah.
You won't have to make up.
Yeah, all right. I've invited several movie producers, and if I do say so myself, I have something I think they've all been looking for.
Oh, I'm not that handsome.
Oh, yeah.
Or am I?
Yeah. But this is, I do really think, a superb play.
Yeah?
Yes.
Well, who wrote it?
Modesty forbids me from mentioning the genius's name.
Whoever could you mean? As if I didn't know.
Yeah. Well, I wrote it.
No.
Yes, yes. And I might add, this play of mine is 10 years ahead of the time.
We'll wait. Yeah.
And what's more, my play is allegorical.
Where are you going to get the alligators?
No. How would you like to hear one of my best speeches?
With cotton in my ears.
No, please, no.
That's too late.
Yes. I like this particular scene.
I'm glad you do.
I am old, 1944. It's been a long, hard year. But I am content to go. Content to go. Mm-hmm.
Would you mind aiming those T's a little to the windward?
All right.
They're a bit juicy.
Yeah.
That is, if you don't mind too much.
Yeah, it's all right. Young man, I want you to know that I have taken diction lessons.
From who, Donald Duck?
No. And some more of my best lines are, off with the old, on with the new.
Pew, 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 pew.
I am a wretched soul, bruised by adversity.
Why don't you sue him?
Oh, now, please. Charlie, do you realize that tonight's performance may alter the whole course of my life?
Is that so?
Yes.
Well, no matter where they take you, Bergen, I'll always come and see you on Visitor's Day. Well, thank you.
And I've written a wonderful part for you.
Yeah?
Yes.
Well, now it looks better.
Yes. You play Little New Year of 1945.
I do?
That's right.
See, I'm sort of the juvenile lead.
That's right, yes. You come out wearing a ribbon across your chest that says 1945.
Yeah?
Yes.
See, won't that be kind of drafty?
No.
Well, what else do I wear?
I hope. Yeah. Well, what do babies usually wear?
Oh, no. You mean with a safety pin?
Well, of course.
Oh, no, you don't, Becky.
Listen, Charlie,
1,000 times nay.
Charlie, no, listen.
Take your hands off.
No, all right, listen.
You don't get me wearing one of those three-cornered snuggies.
Now, Charlie.
No. Charlie, what do you think I am, Gypsy Rose McCarthy?
All right. Listen, Charlie, it's too late now. I can't get anyone else to play the part.
Mr. Bergen, Charlie. No, Charlie. No.
All right.
Do you realize what you're asking me to do?
Yes.
Do you realize?
All right.
Do you realize what you're doing to a child of my tender years?
Yes, yes, but now be reasonable.
No, I won't be reasonable.
Charlie. Charlie.
Let go of my lap, old
Charlie.
No.
This is very important to me.
I will not appear in public wearing nothing but my goose pimples. No.
Charlie.
No, no.
You look cute.
No, I wouldn't. My legs are so sway-backed.
Oh, they're not sway. Why, you'll make a splendid 1945.
No, I won't.
Yes, you will.
I'm so puny.
You're not.
Everybody will think there's a tough year ahead.
No.
Ah,
you're so sensitive.
Well, I have reasons to be.
Why?
No, certain other things.
What is it?
Well, if you must know, I got a mole on my tummy.
Oh. Yeah. But, Charlie, everything depends on you.
What do you mean?
Well, I'm in a spot, Charlie.
Oh, you are?
Yes.
Oh, you're in a spot.
Well, of course. Why, I'll do anything if you'll agree to play this part.
You will?
Yes.
Well, now you said something,
yeah.
That's all I want to know, Bergen.
Yeah. And you will play it?
On what condition?
All right.
First, you got to cancel all those New Year's resolutions you just made out for me.
Yes, but Charlie...
And second, now that you'll sign all my report cards in the future with your eyes closed.
Yeah, but Charlie...
And, of course, my 75 cents allowance...
Yes.
...will come up for renegotiation.
Is that so?
Each new year for the past 81 has brought Chase and Sanborn Coffee new friends. The reason for that, in a single word, is F-L-A-V-O-R, flavor. Yes, Chase and Sanborn has spelled superb coffee flavor for the past 81 years. And today it's doubly popular because it passes both of the two big coffee tests. With meals, breakfast, luncheon, dinner, supper, Chase and Sanborn Coffee sets off all the other food flavors to supreme advantage. And all alone between meals, its delicious flavor is even more attractive, more pleasing, completely satisfying. In the middle of the morning or mid-afternoon, when you want coffee for coffee's sake, Chase and Sanborn all by itself really makes the occasion. In the past year, more people enjoyed Chase and Sanborn Coffee than ever before. That's the biggest swing in our 81 years of making finer coffee. You're entitled to Chase and Sanborn goodness, too. There's no reason to take anything less. So make the most of your opportunity in the year ahead. Always ask for Chase and Sanborn Coffee.
Say, Edgar, have you ever read a book by Jack Goodman and Alan Green called How to Do Practically Anything?
Well, I already know.
No. Oh, I see. Well, tell me, how are you at skiing?
Well, it so happens I just bought my first pair of skis.
Oh, well, then sit down, and listen to what the Messrs. G say about skiing. Skiers are an institution as old as the hills. The hills, however, are somewhat smarter. They stay put. Skiing entered my mind one evening as I was in the parlor practicing approach shots with my niblick. I'm sure if my wife hadn't entered the room so suddenly, I would not have been startled into knocking the ball into her favorite vase.
You can't even be trusted in the living room.
Darling, I'm thinking of giving up golf.
Good.
For skiing.
Skiing?
Mm-hmm.
What would you do with those great big things on your feet? Those other great big things.
Tomorrow we buy skis.
Buy skis? Never.
Well, what do you expect me to ski on? Being a perfect lady... She didn't answer. The first thing to know, of course, is a few simple skiing terms. Herringboning, for instance. Herringboning is a method of going uphill. The expert skier leaves tracks in the snow resembling a herring's spine. Your tracks will resemble your spine. And then there's the kick turn. Now, to describe the kick turn would involve a long discussion on how to get back on your feet. And this would get us into a discussion of how to remove foul skis. This is a maneuver in which you draw one knee sharply up to your chin. Of course, that gets us into the problem of what to do for a bitten tongue. But enough of details. I shall never forget my first downhill run. The wind was whizzing past my ears, and I was whizzing past other people's ears. Suddenly, I knew why people went skiing. Here, at last, was the poetry of motion. Poetry. Unbroken poetry. Two broken arms.
And a pair of skis for sale. Charlie, Charlie.
Wait a minute.
Charlie, what's that crazy-looking contraption you have there?
Well, this is a machine I built so you can look back into any time in history.
Oh, I see.
I call it the McCarthy look-back-a-scope.
Uh-huh. Sort of a time machine.
Yeah, that's right. I brought it over to demonstrate it. Well, you switch on a little thing there, and you'll be surprised what turns up.
Hello, Edgar. Happy New Year to you, Charlie.
Well, Charles Lawton.
I hope the coming year will bring you the best of everything.
And the same to you, Mr. Lawton.
Thank you.
As one friend to another, may fortune continue to smile upon you.
Thank you, Chuck. Hmm? Now that that's over, how are you doing, mahogany puss?
Well, pretty good, buckethead.
What?
What I mean is, Mr. Lawton, you look so handsome tonight and so slender.
Oh, you noticed that.
Yes,
that's
I
true,
have,
thank
yes.
you.
Yeah, or is it too late to expect a Christmas present?
Well, now. Well, hardly expect a present after a remark like that.
Oh, are you mad at me, Mr. Lawton?
Oh, certainly not, Charlie. I love you like my own brother.
I didn't know you had one.
I haven't.
Oh.
I say, Charlie, what is that horrible-looking monstrosity you've got there? Is that something new?
No, Bergen's been with me for years.
No, I mean that crazy-looking machine.
Well, that's a contraption Charlie whipped up. It's for looking into the past, Charles.
Well, it looks more like a combination pants presser, lightning rod, and nutmeg grater.
That's right, wise guy, yeah. Go ahead and laugh. Go ahead. You know, they laughed at Franklin, but he went ahead and invented lightning anyway. Well, he did.
All right. Aren't you smart, Alex?
All right. Forgive me, Charlie, but... how in the world can you build a machine to look back on time?
Well, I took an alarm clock and turned it inside out.
I presume it operates on the theory of chronological inversion.
No, it doesn't. Nothing of the kind. It runs on batteries.
Oh, I see.
Would you let me see that thing? I say, is there any electricity in this wire? Ouch!
Does that answer your question?
It does.
What's the top row of buttons for?
Well, you push those to tune in on the centuries, you see. And then the second row is for different parts of the world.
Well, what's this little red button down here in the corner?
Well, that opens a drawbridge in Sunbury, Pennsylvania. How it got there, I'll never know.
Well, I'm going to push one of these buttons. Now, let me see. 17th century, 16th, 15th. That should be interesting. Mm-hmm. Here goes.
All right. There you see, Tony. I think it needs a lube job. Look, see? See, on the screen there, see? There's a little fella standing on a boat. Ahoy there. Who are you?
I'm Christopher Gonzalo Columbus.
Oh. Christopher Columbus, huh?
Yeah, sure. What else? I got a special rates for fishing trips.
Fishing trips?
Yeah. Two-day cruises to no place and your money back if I discover America.
You'd swear that was Don Amici, wouldn't you?
Let's try something else. Say about the 16th century.
Okay. I'll set it at 300 kilobicycles and... Super Hepzibah, press the button.
There it goes, yeah.
See?
But look, Charlie. Why, there's a beautiful palace.
There's a king.
Why, that's Henry VIII.
Ha ha! Welcome, me hearties. Wouldst care to look around?
Oh, we'd love to, Your Majesty.
Wouldst prefer ye 40-centi tour or ye 60-centi tour?
Well, what's the difference?
20 centis.
If I remember my history correctly, King Henry, you had many problems during your reign. How are things now?
Alas, not too well. Gadzooks, I hardly know where my next wife is coming from.
That's right. Most of your wives ended up on the chopping block, didn't they?
Hank, you were quite a lady killer, weren't you?
Yea, thou shouldst have been here yester-eve. We had a double header.
Why did you behead your last wife?
Didn't like her hairdo.
Oh, I see.
Pardon me, Your Majesty. You haven't eaten for 20 minutes, you know. So I brought you a tray of roast of veal, pork pies, stuffed tripe, and a nice side saddle of mutton.
A pretty sight, forsooth. Hand me that leg of veal and bring two more.
Why stuff yourself with veal?
Hast thou not heard it goes back on ration points tomorrow?
See, you know, that food looks pretty good. Do you mind if I take this little chicken leg?
You don't have to break my arm.
Well, then keep your dirty lunch grapplers out of my chow, you nasty little snitch.
Well, I'll get rid of you. Push the button.
Now, look what we tuned in out here. Oh, there's a fellow with his arm around a girl.
Ah, my beautiful Josephine.
Oh, my Napoleon. Oh, Napoleon, I love you.
This is good, Napoleon and Josephine.
Ah, Josephine, my beloved. I ask from you but one little favor.
You have but to ask.
When you use the toothpaste, will you please put the cap back on?
And I think she gets around, doesn't she?
Yeah. Let's push this 1700 button.
Okay.
Look, there's a man under a tree. You know, he looks a little like Sir Isaac Newton, Charlie.
What's he saying?
In the shade of the old apple tree.
Well, it is Newton.
Yeah, what are you sitting under an apple tree?
Well, you see, old boy, if I sit here long enough, an inspiration strikes me. Oh. There's one now.
Oh, I remember. That's the way you discovered gravity, wasn't it?
Perfectly right, yes. I'm now working on mass production, you know. Gravity will soon be in the homes of the poor as well as the rich.
Then you think you'll clean up with it?
Well, my dear fellow, think what it'll mean to the suspender business. I say, would you be good chaps and mind pushing another button and just stop pestering me?
Yes. That's a good idea.
Yes, it is.
Let's push the first button and we can go back just as far as we can.
Yes, all the way back. Why, we might even talk to Plato.
Yeah, or one of those Greek philosophers like Acidophilus, or what's his name? Oh, boys. Ooh. Oh, how do you do? Are you Socrates or...
You mean Socrates? Oh, no, I'm Nero.
Oh.
I hope you don't mind of us dropping in on you, Nero.
Not at all. Would you like to come to our fire sale on Monday? I'll be there playing a hot fiddle.
Oh, I... Well, why don't you play something now?
Oh, with pleasure. What did you like?
Well, let's see. How about, be it ever so humble, there's no blaze like Rome.
Most happy to oblige. Oh, fiddlesticks. There goes my E string.
Yeah. Where are you going?
Out to get another string. Here, kitty, 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 kitty.
Thank you.
pleasant memories return. A troop of them. Of good food, good company, and your own enjoyment at sight of a cup and saucer. Yes, your coffee cup will always be a symbol of pleasure at the table if you'll take the precaution to fill it with Chase and Sanborn coffee. This richer blend brings you all the flavor your cup can possibly hold. A wealth of rich goodness, deep down, wholehearted, and completely satisfying. That's why the memory of each delicious sip lingers and calls for more. That's why millions upon millions of people through the past 81 years have preferred the superb blend. And in the past year, more people enjoyed Chase and Sanborn coffee than ever before. That's a new high, a new record, the biggest swing in our entire history. Follow that lead, and this week, get all the coffee goodness you're entitled to. Go the limit, get all you can. Ask your grocer for delicious Chase and Sanborn coffee.
Well, I guess that's it. Happy New Year, everybody. And you, Bergen, I know you have a Happy New Year.
Well, why, Charlie? Why are you so sure?
Well, every year's happy for you if I'm around.
Happy New Year, everyone.
Happy New Year, Charlie and Ed Bergen. Be with us again next week when Edgar Bergen, Charlie McCarthy, Don Ameche, Ray Noble, Joan Merrill, and all of us have as our guest the inimitable Carmen Miranda. This week, when you're buying coffee, think of us and ask for Chase and Sanborn coffee. Coffee made to serve in times like these. Charles Lawton is currently being seen in The Suspect. This is Bill Forman saying goodnight from Hollywood's Radio City.
Made your New Year resolutions yet, ladies? Here's a good one. Resolve to keep your family happy with plenty of fine table spread. Give them Blue Bonnet, the delicious new margarine, a product of the makers of Fleischmann's yeast. Blue Bonnet is wonderful. It brings you flavor, nutrition, economy, all three. Serve Blue Bonnet to your fussiest guests. They'll love its fresh, delicate flavor. Give it to the family at every meal. Delicious Blue Bonnet is a real food, rich in energy, rich in vitamin A. And it costs so little in points and money that you can spread it on twice as thick. So, ladies, remember the letters F-N-E for flavor, nutrition, economy. Blue Bonnet margarine gives all three, flavor, nutrition, economy. Get Fleischmann's Blue Bonnet from your grocer the very first time you go to the store.
Is the National Broadcasting Company. KFI Los Angeles, transcribed.
The Edgar Bergen Charlie McCarthy Show from 1944. Next up, it's some experimental radio, and it might not be in very good sound, but we're going to listen to it just the same, or not. It's up to you. It is a podcast, but we'll give it a try here anyway on this side. From 1941, it's a CBS Columbia workshop, and this is called Who Wants to Be Born These Days?
Who wants to be born these days?
It's a baby boy, Mrs. Smith. 7 pounds, 5 ounces. It's a baby girl, Senor Gonzalez. 8 pounds, 1 ounce. Sure, it's a baby boy, Mr. O'Hara. 7 pounds even.
And then one day, there were none. The baby is the traditional symbol of the new year. For its New Year's program, the Columbia Workshop is going to tell you not about one baby, not about hundreds of babies, but about thousands of babies. Who Wants to Be Born These Days? Adapted for radio by Jerry Schwartz and Stanley Rubin from their book of the same name. Charles Vanda is our director. Original music is by Alexander Semler.
being born, everybody was panicking. There were all kinds of cockeye rumors. At one sunspot, it was atmospheric conditions. It was some new kind of bacteria. You want to know what it really was? It was a hole in the sky. That's right, a hole in the sky. Somewhere up in that sky is the before land, where there's nothing but good air and silver sunshine and a quiet share of peace. The unborn babies gather there, waiting their turn to be shipped to Earth. I know. I was there, and I remember only too well what happened. We were all playing a small game of before land hide one day.
You'll never get me!
Oh, yes, I will, Johnny. I got you. Hey, what happened?
We've torn it!
Torn what?
We've torn a hole in the sky!
Golly! Johnny, what are you doing?
I'm looking.
Oh, don't do that. Let's get away from here. Don't do that.
Come on.
What are you seeing? What is it?
Oh, gee. We've got to cover this up.
What's the matter, Clumsy? Can't you stay up on your feet?
You're right now, Johnny.
Hey, what's the matter with Johnny?
He tore a hole in the sky, and he looked through it.
But that's wicked. You're undermining the Beforeland.
Ladies and gentlemen of the Beforeland, we have been duped.
Duped? What does that mean?
We have been cheated, deceived, misinformed, and I might say completely Buffalo.
Oh, what the earth is that?
You know what I just saw through that hole? The earth.
The earth?
You're just making it up. I did too see it. You know what? A lot of it is terrible.
That's double wicked. You shouldn't have looked.
Why not, Andy? All of us are going straight to Earth eventually. And we've got a right to know about it. Just take a look through there. I dare you.
Okay, I'll look. Take your foot off the hole. Wow. Let me see.
It looks pretty good to me.
Look over there, Tommy.
And there.
Golly gee.
You see? What if you went to live in any of those places?
Tommy, whatever you doing? Why, your eyes are raining.
I don't know. After I looked, I felt very sad. And then suddenly my eyes began to rain.
Well, I knew something terrible would happen.
I don't think I'm going to like being born.
Hey, here comes Uncle Pete. What are we going to do about this hole in the sky?
You're going to get it now.
Pete, cover it up.
Put on. You sit on it.
Sit on it?
Stop giggling.
You would too if you sat on it.
Quiet.
Well, I've never seen your baby so quiet. Let's come over here, Gwendolyn.
Oh, it's nothing, Uncle Pete.
No? Well, it's somebody's birthday. Guess who's? Well, where were you babies today? Huh? Well, we've always had a lot of fun guessing. Come on now. Who do you think it is? I tell you that. You're the lucky fellow, Johnny.
Me?
That's right. You're expected any minute.
Oh, no.
All right, Johnny. What's this all about?
I refuse to be born.
You're refusing? Huh?
I saw a hole in the sky. I didn't mean to, but I did. And I looked through it, and I saw the earth.
Well, this certainly beats all.
Aren't you going to do anything to
him? Oh, no siree. This is way out of my jurisdiction. I'll have to consult the authorities about this.
Oh, you can get up now, Gwendolyn.
Johnny, what you said to Uncle Pete.
Oh, I bet none of you want to be born after what we saw.
But babies have been born for so long now.
Babies have been born for so long now. That's the trouble with us. We're in a rut. All we can do is be born. It's about time somebody showed the people on Earth a
No, none of us do. We're all sick together, and then nobody will have to be born. Not as long as that earth down there is so unfair to unborn babies.
Unfair to unborn babies? That's cute.
Unfair to unborn babies.
That's right. Everybody together now.
Unfair to unborn babies.
Rigged up here. What have you done to the clouds?
We're from the earth. What we think of them? That ought to fix things.
No use, Johnny.
Why? What do the authorities have to say, Uncle Pete?
Well, son, you caught them all with their wings down.
Mr. Pete, I want to be born.
Andy!
Oh, my God, how can you do that, Andy? You're the only one who didn't look.
I don't have to look. I'm happy to believe it's all a very nice place, and I'd like to be born.
Oh,
well, I'm sorry, Andy. You're just not due yet. You're too young.
How old am I?
Next week, you'll be minus 39 years old.
Good.
Yes, sir. Well, babies, if... I don't know if you're as innocent as you look, but what you've got here is a strike. And when there's labor trouble up here, that's mighty serious.
Under my cloud blanket when suddenly a sound awakened me. It was Andy slipping away in the night. Must admit, for a traitor, he certainly had courage, because none of us babies had ever been up at night before. But I suspected he was going to sell us out, so I followed him. Gosh, it was scary, especially when a star fell. My goodness. Gee, well, that was a frightening sound. And Andy saw what I saw. It was Uncle Pete asleep. Mr. Pete, wake up, Mr. Pete. Wake up, please.
What? Oh, Andy, what are you doing up at night?
I came to tell you that I'm on your side, Mr. Pete. I'm willing to be born.
Yeah, well, Andy, you can't just be born with a snap of the fingers. Your parents have to want you.
That important?
Oh, it's very important. Imagine being born to somebody who didn't want you.
This sounds terrible.
It is, Andy. I guess you better run on back to bed.
I'm scared now. I'm afraid to go back alone.
I'll take you back, Andy.
Johnny. Hey, there's night walking. It's getting to be quite a habit.
I came to get my friend, Andy. Gee, thanks, Johnny. I was afraid you'd be awfully mad at me.
I was. But that's all over now. Come on, take my hand.
Oh, that's nice. Hey, what am I laughing about?
when they start sticking together like that, it really means trouble.
From that point on, the babies were 100% united. But then...
Wake up! Wake up! Wake up, all of you! Wake up! I'm the HLRB.
What's that?
The Heavenly Labor Relations Board. We've got to settle this thing.
How come?
Prayers. Never heard so many of them in all my days. The biggest shipment of them since the fall of Jericho. And all for you kids. We can't handle such a volume of business. So, young fella, we have to do something about it.
I say let them pray.
So do I.
Now, look here, kids. I'd suggest sitting down and, talking things over.
There's nothing more to say. We're just going to stay up here.
Now, wait a minute. You can't do that. If you're not born, within 90 or 100 years, there won't be a soul left on Earth.
Well, that would be swell for the soul. Maybe later on, we'll go down. Where there's nobody left there, and then we can start doing things right.
Uh-huh. Well, there's one little thing you're forgetting. If you wait that long, you'll never be able to be born.
Well,
don't you see? Don't you see? There'd be nobody left to be born to. And every baby's got to have a father and a mother. It's in the rule book. Now, look, you babies have some very fine ideas. So, why don't you start being born? And take them down with you.
Uncle Pete, from the way we see it, it can't work. You can't speak on Earth until you're 4 or 5 years old. And in some places, never, really. That's not for us. We refuse to mediate.
You're sure you wouldn't care to discuss terms before I leave?
Well, if you'd give us a minute, Uncle Pete, I think we'll talk it over among ourselves.
Sure, Johnny. Go right ahead. Beats me how babies get smarter and smarter all the time.
Well, all right, Uncle Pete. We've got terms for you.
Well, let's hear them.
They might be a little unusual, but we feel this is very important. Here's what we want. Send one baby down to Earth. Uncle Pete certainly didn't waste any time with the terms we gave him. He was back in a couple of hours.
The terms have been okayed. Well, now, it is a pleasure getting back to work again. Well, who's it going to be?
Huh? We forgot all about that. Oh. Well, who is that? Who's eligible?
Well, let me consult this scroll. Yeah, there's quite a few piled up. As a matter of fact, any number of you are not only due, you're overdue. There's Gregory, Gwendolyn, and Tommy, and Michelle, and it... Why, yes, there's you, Johnny.
Johnny, of course. Johnny, he's our man.
That is the one.
We love Johnny.
Second the motion.
All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
The ayes have it. Johnny, you're elected. Congratulations, old man.
My friend, I shall do my best.
Go to it, Johnny. We know you can put over our terms.
Okay, but the rest of you remember, because for all of us, so keep your eyes to that hole in the sky and your ears to the choir.
You bet.
All right, Uncle Pete. I'm ready.
Sure, take my hand, Johnny. This is the threshold of life.
Gosh.
Yes. Well, let's slip this on now.
What is it?
It's just your little parachute, Johnny. Let me tell you how to use it. You step over the threshold, count 10, and you pull the cord.
Gosh.
Oh, now you don't have to hold your nose when you jump.
Oh, all right.
Johnny?
I'm nervous. I can't count. What comes after seven?
Why, eight, Johnny.
Yeah, that's right. Then nine and ten.
Yes, Johnny.
Well, here I go.
Speaking to you from the delivery room of City Hospital, where the first baby has been born since the week of November 20th. As if the baby alone were not enough, the doctor has just startled us with an amazing statement, which we are waiting to check on now. In the room are reporters and news and photographers and the proud father. Ladies and gentlemen, you won't believe me. This baby, born just a few minutes ago, is reaching for the bars of his crib. He's slowly pulling himself to his feet. He's wobbling just a bit. But there he is, standing up.
Oh, listen!
Oh. It's true, ladies and gentlemen. You heard it yourself. He did speak. And now he... I can't talk, ladies and gentlemen. I can't talk.
Oh, I can. Give me that thing. I have a lot to say. Listen. Put them all together. All those men who think they're important. Because I have something really important to tell them. Yes, that was our scheme. Those were our terms with Uncle Pete. One baby to be gifted at birth with the power of first talk. One baby to come down as a delegate of all the unborn babies. One baby to present our demands. Of course, nobody believed it at first. The world had been fooled too many times.
Fellow
citizens, I tell you, it's a fool. There's no baby in that hospital, Chris. A major has been sent to fool the masses. Oh, excuse me. Here's the doctor. I'm sick. They're not ready. But when specialists looked me over and said I was a newborn baby, all right, they had to believe it. Time magazine had this to say.
Doctors this week examined, confirmed, agreed. The Wonder Baby is a baby. Kurt. Complete, uncanny.
Mrs. Roosevelt wrote a column about me.
My day was made complete when, after my lecture at Seattle, I telephoned and chatted with the talking baby.
They even debated about me.
We, the debate team of Morris High School, challenged DeWitt Clinton on the subject, resolved that speech can be inherited.
The only thing I didn't understand was what Variety had to say.
Juve speaks.
And you know what? I got a special invitation to appear on Quiz Kids.
My name is Sheldon Olden. I am 10 years old.
My name is June Morley. I am 12 years old.
My name is Johnny. I am 3 days old.
Sam Golden offered me a movie contract.
wife put me on his cover, and there was even a song written about me. It became number one on the hit parade.
If I could have talked when I was one day old, my words would have been these sweet words of old.
Did lead him.
Uncle Pete was a
Tonight, the Columbia Workshop presented Who Wants to Be Born These Days? Based on a book by Jerry Schwartz and Stanley Rubin and featuring Dolores Gillen as Johnny. Director of the program was Charles Vanda, Western Program Director of CBS. Original music was composed and conducted by Alexander Samler. Columbia Workshop was presented from New York and next week offers The Fish on the Bathroom Floor, written by Thomas Lyle Collins and directed by Howard G. Barnes. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.
That's it for this week. We'll be back next week with more old-time radio. I hope you can join us then. Till then, this is Jim Dolan thanking you for listening.